Good morning, Ascend Church. Anyone ready to ascend the hill of the Lord where we can be in His presence? I'm after His holiness. I'm after His power. I'm after His strength. I'm after His presence. Come on, let's lift up a praise in this place and invite Him in. Hallelujah.
I don't need the smoke or mirrors, 'cause I know there's a God who's real. I don't need the lights to fool me, 'cause I have seen the God who heals. I know when I ask, I receive it, 'cause you're not a God who withholds. I hear you say, just believe it. Come on, say, I need a Holy Ghost. So I need a love that goes rattling my bones to the heavens. Say, I need a Holy Ghost awakening my soul. I need a heart on fire that'll never grow tired wherever I go. In comfort, 'cause something in this world remains. I need something stronger than lightning blowing inside of these veins. I need a Holy Ghost awakening in my soul. I need the love that's in my bones to the evolution. I need a Holy Ghost awakening in my soul. I just want more, I just want more.
Difficulties, but I'm still gonna bless Him. I'm still gonna praise Him. I'm still gonna raise up my voice to shout how good and great my God is. Come on, somebody.
Hallelujah. In these trying times, it's so important that we build our lives on the truth of God, on His promises, on the rock that is Jesus Christ. Is He your firm foundation this morning? The rock on which you stand. Hallelujah. We honor you in this place, God. is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand when everything around me is shaken. I've never been more glad. I put my faith in Jesus, 'cause he's never let me down. He's faithful through generations. So why would he fail now?
Hey,
he won't.
Still got joy in chaos. I've got peace that makes no sense, and I won't be going under. And I'm not held by my own strength, 'cause I built my life on Jesus.
Against him. Regardless of what I go through, I serve a God who is stronger than, who's bigger than, who's greater than. So in spite of what you're going through, build your life on him. Rain. Yeah.
Rain.
Yeah.
around me is shaking.
Hey.
I've never been so glad that I put my faith in Jesus. He never let me down, faithful through generations. So why would he fail now?
He won't. Yeah.
He won't.
All power's in his hand and he won't fail.
He won't fail. He won't fail. He won't.
He won't.
He won't fail. He won't fail.
That's what I want you to declare.
He won't fail.
Come on, let that be your confession.
He won't fail.
Oh, no matter what it looks like.
He won't fail.
Victory.
He won't fail.
This place.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Father, you are so worthy. We give you all the praise and all the worship.
The glory, the honor, the dominion, the power are all his, both now and forevermore. So we declare, God, that you are worthy of it all. Yes, God, we honor you in this place.
You're worthy of it all. Yes, you are, God. You're worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. Let's sing it again, yeah. You're worthy of it all.
So we give it to you freely, God.
You're worthy of it all.
Every song we sing, every breath we breathe,
for from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory.
Come on and help me all over the room.
You're worthy of it all.
Yes, you are, God.
You're worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory.
I exalt thee.
not things come from our Heavenly Father.
You're worthy of it all.
So we give Him back our worship and our praise.
You're worthy of it all.
Stretched arms, surrendered hearts. Let's exalt the Lord. Let's magnify Him this morning. Come on, church.
We exalt the name.
Oh, we exalt the name. Oh, Lord.
I exalt Thee.
Prayer partners up front, and if anyone would like prayer this morning, we'd invite you to come forward. Don't be shy. We will pray with you and agree with you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
In the year King Uzziah died, Isaiah saw the Lord. He was high, he was lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. And the angels cried, "Holy." They ascribed glory and honor to his name. Let's do the same thing this morning.
I see the Lord highly exalted. I hear the sound of heaven's praise before the throne. Cry out, "Holy, the King is here."
I don't know if you know, but the King is here. Come on.
Glorify the name of the Lord Almighty. Glorify the one, He alone is worthy. Glorify the name of of the Lord Almighty. Glorify the King of all. I sense a shift. The church is rising. I feel the rush of kingdom come. I hear the sound. A roaring lion. The King is here. Yeah, yeah, yeah. The King is here. Everybody say, glorify the name of the Lord Almighty. Glorify the one. He alone is worthy. Glorify the name of the Lord Almighty. Glorify the King of all. Sing it one more time. Glorify the name of the Lord Almighty. Glorify the one. He alone is worthy. Glorify the name of the Lord Almighty. Glorify the King of all.
Through it.
glorified.
One more time from your heart, sing it out.
In my heart, be glorified.
In my life,
be glorified.
Oh, in your church,
in your church, be glorified.
Feel a shift in the room. Oh, something happens when you magnify the name of the Lord. Chains begin to break. Healing falls in the room. Yeah. Come on.
God be magnified. God be glorified. God be forever. God be magnified. God be glorified. God be lifted high.
For with a loud voice, say,
God be magnified. God be glorified. God be lifted high. Forever. Glorified, God be lifted high forever. God be magnified, God be glorified, God be lifted high
forever.
Glorify the name of the Lord Almighty, glorify the one. He alone is worthy. Glorify the name of the Lord Almighty. Glorify the King of all.
Now let your praises break loose in this place. Like you serve an awesome God. Come on.
As your church to worship you, to glorify your name. Holy Spirit, we welcome you to move amongst your people. We thank you, Father, for this community of believers. Father, as we gather around your word, as we gather around your throne with worship today, we thank you for your presence that fills this room. We thank you, Lord, that you speak to us. We thank you, Lord, that you minister to each and every one. We thank you, Father, that our hearts are open and receptive to your word, that you are able to speak words of encouragement and uplift your people today, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. It's good to worship the Lord together, isn't it? Won't you just turn and greet someone, tell them how glad you are to see them. You may be seated. Morning. I love to be in the house of God. I don't know about you, but I'm so thankful for my redemption. I'm so thankful. The Bible says that the mercies of God are new every morning. Isn't that amazing news? That's good news to me. Every morning I think, thank you, Lord, your mercies are new every morning. Isn't that wonderful? We're so glad to see you in church. Welcome to Ascend Church. We're glad that you're here today. Welcome to everybody that's present. Welcome to our online viewers. We have people that watch from all over the world, and we're so glad that you've joined us today. Our Ascend Church members, if you're watching online, we miss you. We're glad that you're watching, though. And if you're watching, just check in on Facebook if that's where you're watching from. You can go ahead and share the live stream. It's an outlet of our church, another part of our service. So go ahead and do that. You never know who it'll reach today. And let us know where you're watching from. You can like the Facebook, the Instagram pages. Everything that we do on social media is to only to further the gospel, to extend the kingdom. So thank you for watching. If you're here and you haven't downloaded our app, go ahead and download it. It's just so simple to watch the service. It's so simple to watch previous messages, to read a Bible reading plan. There's all kind of resources on there, so we do that as a service to you. And the various ways that I'm saying this for the online audience and for those that are sitting here, if you ever want to watch the service, you can watch it on our website at ascendchurch.us. You can watch on the Ascend Church app. You can watch on Facebook Live or on Ascend Church Jupiter on YouTube. And I love the extended church that we have using online services. Amen. But I want to welcome you all, and I especially want to welcome anyone who's visiting for the first time today. We love having visitors in our church. So if you are here for the first time, we don't embarrass you in any way. We'd just like to hand you a visitor pack. Would you mind just waving your hand that we could recognize you if you're here for the first time today? I know you are. I see. God bless you. God bless you. So glad that you joined us. Maybe a friend invited you, or maybe you just decided to come in, but I never believe it's by accident. I pray that you get everything that you need from the service today. Amen. In that pack, there's a card that says guest. We ask you just take a moment and fill that out. And at the end of the service, or in a little while, we pass an offering bucket by. Just drop that card in, and it gives Pastor Steve an opportunity to give you a call. Just find out how you enjoyed the service. So I think you'll find our church very friendly. If you haven't already, maybe overwhelmingly so, which is better than the other way around, right? You don't want the unfriendly church, right? You want to be in the friendly church. So I just want to remind you about four main purposes of our church. The first one is that you would know God. This is something we think about in our children's ministry, in our youth ministry, in everything we do. The first one is that you would know God. We're all coming to know Him in a deeper dimension. Amen. Doesn't matter if you've been serving the Lord for 50 years, we're coming to know Him in a deeper dimension. Second of all, that you would find freedom. There is freedom. There are testimonies in this room of freedom that there is to be found in Jesus. Thirdly, that you would discover your purpose. God has a purpose for your life. And lastly, that we would make a difference with our lives. Amen. And so glad that you're here. We are going to pass a clipboard by. If you wouldn't mind, just for attendance, just put your name down. If you've changed anything of your details, let us know. It's just very helpful for administration. So thank you for letting us know. And Pastor Steve, I'm ready for you. And don't we love Hannah? We just love Hannah. You know, we've known her since a baby. And to see her up there, just the way she, oh man, that gift, not just the gifting, but the way she worships God, I'm just thrilled, thrilled, thrilled. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Well, good morning, everybody. It is good to be here in God's house, and it's good to see you today. Tell your neighbor, it is good to see you today. And we have a special guest with us. I'm going to introduce them in a moment. But I just want to say to the worship team what a wonderful job they did today. Give them a big round of applause. Great. What a great job. Amen. What a praise. You know, the Bible says that God inhabits our praise. Part of the reason we start out our service with worship, because when you worship God, That's what brings His presence. It brings you into His, and it brings His presence into the room. Chester, it looks like we're still dropping out. We tested it before the service and it was good, but now it's not. So we're going to continue our worship this morning by worshiping God with giving. A lot of people don't realize that when you give to the Lord, it's actually an act of worship. And I would like to get ready to give today. Thank you. Otherwise, it's that. Praise the Lord. I want to read here from Genesis chapter 28 and verse number 20. It says, then Jacob made this vow. Say vow. What vow did he make? He said, if God will indeed be with me and protect me on this journey, and if He will provide me with food and clothing, and if I return safely to my father's home, then the Lord will certainly be my God, and this memorial pillar I have set up will become a place for worshiping God, and I will present to God a tenth of everything that He gives to me. So Jacob made a vow to the Lord. If the Lord will provide for me, if the Lord will protect me, then He's going to be my God. I'm going to worship Him, and I'm going to give Him a tenth or a tithe of everything that He gives to me. Now that's in Genesis chapter 28. Jacob makes this vow to the Lord. And just a couple of, you all know the story of what happened with Jacob. Jacob ended up working for his uncle Laban, and he fell in love with Laban's younger daughter, Rachel. And he asked Laban if he could marry Rachel. And Laban said, yes, but you've got to work for me for 7 years. And on the wedding night, Jacob agreed. On the wedding night, Laban snuck in his older daughter, Leah, not Rachel. Now, I'm not sure how all that happened in that day. They never had power. I don't know. They didn't have lights. The candle was dim. I don't know. But Jacob didn't realize until the morning that it was Leah and not Rachel. And so the next morning, you tricked me. And Laban said, well, you know, I couldn't have my younger daughter get married before my older daughter. And so I tell you what, I'll give you Rachel if you'll work for me for 7 more years. So 14 years. And he agreed. And he worked for his uncle for 14 years. He actually ended up working for him for 20 years. And the Bible says that Laban was unfair to him, and he kept decreasing his wages. And eventually, Jacob goes to Laban and he says, listen, you don't have to pay me anymore. This is what I want you to do. Just give me all the speckled and spotted sheep and the black sheep, and that'll be my wages for all these years. And Laban agreed, because there wasn't that many speckled and spotted and black sheep. Most sheep are white. So you know the story that Jacob took bark from the trees and put the bark in the watering troughs, and when the sheep came to drink water and when they came to mate, they produced speckled and spotted sheep. Now, I don't know, again, I don't know how that one works. All I know is that it happened. And so what happened is Jacob, that his sheep kept producing more and more and more until he became very, very wealthy. In fact, in Genesis chapter 30, just 2 chapters after Jacob made that vow, look what it says. It says, thus the man, talking about Jacob, he became exceedingly prosperous. And he had large flocks, and female and male servants, and camels and donkeys. He became exceedingly prosperous. Do you think that the vow that Jacob made to the Lord in Genesis 28 had anything to do with him becoming exceedingly prosperous? It had everything to do with it. It had everything to do with it. Jacob made that vow to tithe, and the Bible says that when you tithe, God says, I will open the floodgates of heaven, and I will pour blessing upon you, and I will rebuke the devourer on your behalf. That's what God says. And so Jacob makes this vow to tithe, and all of a sudden, man, he's got favor. God gives him wisdom, and he becomes exceedingly prosperous. Amen. I want to really encourage you, if you've never made that commitment to the Lord, Lord, I will give a tenth of everything that you bless me with. I'm going to give the first tenth to you. Let me tell you, it really is the foundation and the key to seeing, to becoming prosperous, to having God supernaturally prosper your life, for God to open doors and do things that you couldn't do by yourself. Amen. And all the tithers said, amen. So I want to thank all of the tithers and givers. Thank you for your faithfulness to the Lord. Thank you for supporting. This church is supported by the tithes and offerings of God's people. And I just know that as you are faithful and obedient to put God first and to tithe on all your income, I know that the windows of heaven are open over your life. And I know that God is pouring blessing out upon you in the name of God is raising up people in this church and prospering them. I love we were talking to Dr. Allen and Janine yesterday, and they were telling us the story of one of their pastors on staff. His name is Pastor Sam. Well, Pastor Sam used to be a gardener. He used to live in a tin shanty, in a tin shack, and he was a gardener. And one of the pastors at Pastor Allen and Janine's church, his name is Danny, he led this man, Sam, to the Lord. He led him to Jesus, and then he brought him to church. And Sam, when Sam came to church, he was a gardener who worked part-time, and he lived in a shanty, a tin shanty, and he rode a bicycle. And he got hold of the principles of tithing and giving, and God so blessed him. Do you know that that man, Sam, ended up buying a house? Then he rented the house. Then he bought another house. Then somebody gave him a car. Then someone gave him a Mercedes-Benz. Then his wife got promoted at her job multiple times. Now she has this high-paying job. And Sam is now a pastor, being a pastor at their church all these years. I mean, his life was totally turned around and changed by applying what I'm talking to you about today. He went from a tin shanty to a home to a Mercedes-Benz, to God blessing he and his family as these principles work, family. Can you say amen? So thank you to all of you who are faithful to tithe. I want you to know that I pray for you. I believe God for you. I believe God's raising up Pastor Sam. I'm saying God's doing supernatural things in people's lives. I'm believing God to do supernatural things in your life. There's businesses and business people in this church. God wants to take your business 10 times what it is right now. Somebody in this church is going to be so blessed. You're going to walk in and say, Pastor Steve, what's the mortgage on the church? $3 million. Here's a check for $3 million. Pay the mortgage. Somebody's going to do that. What you should say is, that's going to be me. That's going to be me. Amen. Are you ready to give this morning? How many believe in giving? Wave your hands. You believe that God blesses giving. Amen. Remember, there's various ways that you can give. At our church, you can give by cash or check or credit card. Use the envelope in the seat back in front of you. You can give online at ascendchurch.us. You can give by text, Cash App, PayPal. I'm not too crazy about PayPal right now. Because didn't they do something where they're going to fine you if they don't agree? Something like that. They're going to penalize you. You haven't heard about this? Anyone heard about this? So I'm kind of steering away from PayPal. We have other options too, don't we? Zelle. Right? Zelle. So let's pray as we get ready to give today. All of you watching online, thank you for giving. I'm going to pray right now. Lord, I thank you that just like Jacob made that vow to put you first and to tithe, and you caused him to become exceedingly prosperous. Lord, I thank you that you are the same God. And I thank you that you are prospering every tither and every giver, that you are supernaturally opening doors for them. You are supernaturally bringing blessing into their life, giving them wisdom, giving them favor, giving them divine ideas, Father, In the name of Jesus, we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Are you ready this morning to give? Ushers, are we ready? Thank you. Go ahead. Pass the offering buckets. And I just want to ask you a question. This year, Christmas Day is on Sunday. Christmas Day, December 25th, is on Sunday. So here's my question to you. How many of you know what Christmas is all about? What do we celebrate? We celebrate Jesus' birth. Correct? Now, Jesus wasn't actually born on December 25th, but that's the day that we celebrate him coming to the earth. And the whole world celebrates Christmas, most of the world, which is celebrating Jesus. So I think it's important on Christmas that we honor the Lord and worship the Lord by being in church. How many of you agree? So here's my question. What would you prefer to come to, for us to have church on Sunday, Christmas Day, or would you prefer Saturday evening, Christmas Eve? So I want to do this by a show of hands. I would like you to indicate if you intend, if you'd prefer to have a Christmas Eve service or a Christmas Day service. So first we'll start with Christmas Eve, Saturday, December 24th. If you like that, hold your hand up for me. Hold your hand up. What is Abel doing? Oh, your hand was up. All right. Okay, hold them up high. Hold them up high. Hold them up high. All right. How many of you would prefer to have a Christmas Day service on Sunday, December 24th? Hold your hand up. On December 25th. December 25th. So you're outnumbered. Can you attend Christmas Eve? Can you come on Christmas Eve? Who else raised the hand up? Are you able to come on Christmas Eve? You have a what? So you have plans on Christmas Eve. Well, I would do Christmas Day, but it would probably be just you and me and Monique and a couple of others here. The majority, 90%, are like Christmas Eve. So I think we'll do that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we are so glad to have our dear friends, Apostle Alan and Janine from Cape Town, South Africa, the Bay Christian Family Church. We have been friends with them for 30 years now, maybe a little bit longer than 30 years. We all got saved at Pastor Theo and Bev's church in Christian Family Church, Johannesburg. I got saved at the church in 1980, and Pastor Alan and Janine, he started attending the church in 1989, and so we left in 91 to go to start a church in Cape Town, and they joined the church in 89, and then went on staff in 92, right? 91, 92, 92. And then by 1993, you moved to Cape Town and started a church on the other side of the city. So he was only a Christian for 4 years when he went out and started the church. And now the church is, you know, the Lord's just done amazing things. We were there recently, and they have many campuses. They have thousands of people attending. They're on TV all across Africa. I don't know how many thousands of people watch that. But Tamara and Matt came with us to Cape Town, and Pastor Alan and Janine, they just, the whole church, they just treated us so well. They were just so warm and welcoming and generous, and they made us feel so special. They really went out of their way to just be good to us, right? We had a wonderful time in Cape Town, and so it's great to see them. We've known them for so many years, and it's great to have Apostle Alan. And he is an apostle because some people don't think there's apostles anymore today. But the Bible talks about that Jesus has given the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, pastor, and teacher to equip the saints. And an apostle is simply someone that God uses to start churches. That's the sign of an apostle, sent to start churches. And they have many campuses, so that, you know, that's the signs of it. So anyway, we're so glad to have Apostle Alan and Janine. I want to ask you to give them a big Ascend Church welcome as he comes this morning. One, two. It is on. It's green. Do I need to turn mine off? It's not on. Can someone come and show us how to put it on?
Yeah, it is on.
Are you on now?
Yes, I am.
All right, there you go.
One, two, one, 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 two. It comes in waves. Come on, let's stand our feet and let's give Jesus praise. Can we do that? Come on, let's give Him honor. Let's give Him praise. Let's give Him glory. Father, we worship You. We praise Your name. We give You glory and honor. Hallelujah. Amen. I may have to go with the hand mic. Seems like this is also dropping in and out. Well, it's good to be back. How many of you were here last time I was here?
And can I have something to put those on? Thank you. Well, if you were here last talking, this is also. Can I go ahead now? Great. Thank you. The last time I was here, I shared with you what the challenge my wife had been through. Have you recall that? So I am internally grateful that she's with me today. And it's such a wonderful thing to have her here. And we just thank God for His grace, that He is a God of the Word. He is the Word, and that He watches over that Word to perform it. That Word does not return void. And here is living testimony of a Word put into action. For those that may not have been here, Janine contracted COVID-19. And she was one of the most extreme cases in our area, in the hospital, she stayed there for a month, in the hospital that she was in. She had the highest inflammation markers that hospital had ever seen. And the doctor was convinced it was over. He called me and said they weren't allowing any visitors. I'm sure it was the same here. If you had you in the hospital, so many people passed away without their family close to them. Tragic. And he called and he said, this is so severe, is that they've got a ventilator ready and they're going to make an exception that I can bring the family in. We could come all say goodbye because they don't expect her to come back. And I said, doctor, she is not going on that ventilator. And he thought I was in denial. You know, he says, I don't think you understand. I need to tell you the truth here. I said, yeah, you do your truth. I'll do my truth. I have a living word from God. You do your job, but let me do mine. I'm telling you, you're not putting on a ventilator. She is coming back. She'll not die, but live. Long story short, after a month, she walked out that hospital. And praise God, all the staff of the hospital lined the passages and gave her a guard of honor. You know, as she was going out, they were clapping hands and crying and cheering. And we met some of the nurses later, and we just thought that's what they were doing, you know. And they said, no, the reason they did that is they had not seen people walking out. They're losing one after the other. And knowing Janine's case, that she walked out, they called all the staff, and they lined up the passages and clapped as she left. So we praise God for His goodness. Amen. How many came expectant this morning? You know, when you're close to something, you can sometimes become familiar and not realize what you have. You know, if you're eating fillet steak every day, eventually it starts to stick in your teeth. You know what? But the pastors that you have here are dear, dear, dear people. And I know many of you do know that, but I just want to make sure you're aware of it. Is we have walked with them for so many years, and every one of us face challenges. And we know that we face challenges, tragedies, disappointments. But through it all, we see God's grace. And one thing that marks this couple is their faithfulness to Jesus. They refuse to give up. I mean, they've had so many opportunities to pack it in and say, that's it, I'm done. But they just stood firm. People come and go. But you know your pastors will always be here. And just you know that. And so honor that. Be wary of it. Be aware of it. And pray for them. I know you do, but just every day, just encourage them. And Steve and Jill, thank you so much for the friendship of all these years. We love you dearly. We appreciate you. And thank God what you're doing over here. And it's good to have friends that you know are always there no matter what. Amen. And what a friend we have in Jesus. How you came expecting for the word. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your living grace. You are the word. And we've come to hear that word. Jesus, you said if we'd gather in your name, you hear. And then, Holy Spirit, Jesus sent you to remind us of what we've been taught. That you would guide us into truth. And that you would show us things to come. Reveal to us the way ahead and teaching us what we need for that. And so we come expecting today to hear from you. I thank you for the privilege of being the voice to that word, and I don't take it lightly. I submit myself under your mighty hand that I may speak your word, just as Jesus said, only say what the Father has said, that I may do it with grace, speaking your word with clarity and accuracy, that that word will ignite every heart with faith that drives out all fear. Minds are renewed to your word as understanding replaces confusion. I believe each and every one of us today are transformed from glory to glory. For this we give you alone the praise and honor in the name of Jesus. Family, you ready to receive? Shout amen. Amen. Praise God. As you're seated, open your Bible at Hebrews chapter 3. I can tell that God enjoys coffee. He named the book Hebrews. So, how do you enjoy your coffee? Amen. Hebrews is an interesting book. It was written from the perspective of a lot of, you understand that the early Christians were all Jewish. It wasn't like God came to start another religion. It was his people that recognized their Messiah. And then the heathens, the unsaved, almost mockingly called them Christians because they were acting like Christ. It's like saying, oh, those little Christs. And so that was where the word Christian comes from. But they were all Jewish. They believed God as God and his word. And so many of them had given their lives to Jesus, were born again, but as a result of that, there was a lot of religious Jews that were still hooked up in the traditions of Judaism, and they were persecuting and criticizing these new believers. And you know what public pressure can be like. Today, there's a lot of pressure to be politically correct. A lot of sin is being legislated. It's written into law now that what we 30, 40 years ago, everybody just took for granted that's wrong, even if you weren't a Christian. But today, it's illegal to call it out as a sin. It's like the world has gone crazy. And there's a lot of pressure to stand for what you believe in. And that's what was happening. They were going through a lot of pressure, a lot of criticism, a lot of persecution. And as a result, some of them were turning back to the old traditions. They were leaving the Christian walk and going back to their Judaism upbringing. And this, the writer of Hebrews is writing to address that and saying, listen, at the end of the day, who were we expecting? The Messiah. And the whole first chapter is describing who Jesus is, how he's exalted higher than the angels, how important he is and what his role is and why he came. And then through Hebrews, it's describing this Jesus and why we gave our lives to Jesus in the first place and to call them back to the faith. And I really believe that we as the church today are the voice of God in this earth. How will anybody know the truth unless we are the ones saying it? And we don't want to become the complacent where we're sitting at work and all of a sudden people start talking about sin and downplaying it and we're trying to stay friends with everybody and stay, you know, politically correct. We don't want to lose sight of the reason we got saved in the first place. We need to be bold about the truth and unashamedly stand for the righteousness of God, what his word says. And so this is what the writer is doing, calling them back to this righteousness. And he gets here to chapter 3 and he says in verse 1, therefore,
So everything that I've said now is leading up to this, and that's kind of your homework, is go find out what therefore is there for. But from that, he says, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus. Now, consider means you need to give it certain attention. It's not just let it slip past you. So now he's saying, focus on this person, Christ Jesus, who is our apostle, the word apostle, as you heard Pastor Steve saying just now, it's really just a Greek term. It's not like a title like general. That's not what it's about. The word apostle in the Greek literally means sent one. So apostolos. If I sent my son to go buy a loaf of bread, and if he was Greek and you could say my father sent me, he would say he's an apostolos, a sent one. And so we can sometimes make something bigger than it really is. It's just a function. It's God sending somebody into a place to establish the work of God. And once the work is established, is then put someone in authority to continue running that. That's the function. It's not something important. It's not like now I'm more important in the body of Christ. But when it comes to Jesus, he is the high apostle. No one could be an apostle without him being the apostle. No one could be an evangelist. He is the evangelist. He is the pastor. He is the teacher. Isn't that right? So any grace and gifts we walk in are coming from him. So he is our apostle, the sent one by the Father, and he's the priest, the overseer of our confession. Now that's an interesting concept, because must remember, Jesus has already always existed. Before he was born as the man Jesus, he was the Word. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He's always the Word. And through the Old Testament, you see him showing up in places. We'll see that again today. Often they would meet with them, they think it's just a man, then they realize, no, it's an angel, and then they walk away and they go, hang on, that was the angel of the Lord, and I'm still alive. In other words, they recognized they'd looked in the face of God. So he had ways of manifesting before he was then eventually sent to the earth in a human body. And the purpose for that was he had to come as a man to pay the price for the sin man had committed. Man committed the sin. Man had to pay the price for that sin, not God. So when he came into the earth as Jesus, he emptied himself of his power. He always was God, but he emptied the power he had as God. We know that. The Bible says in Acts 10:38 how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. That Jesus, the man, with the Holy Spirit and with power, and went about doing good and healing all who were sick and oppressed the devil, for God was with him. Not because he was God. So in the earth he walked as a man. That's his calling as Jesus. Then in that calling he enters into the next phase of his ministry, which is the Lamb. And so he was crucified on the cross as the Lamb, and he paid the supreme price for you and me for our sin, and his blood forever stands testimony that you and I are forgiven. Praise God. Fast forward, he is coming back, but he's not coming back as the Lamb anymore. He's coming back as the Lion of Judah. Now, the reason I said all of that, you notice how his ministry, even though he's the same God, was adjusting all the time. Originally was the Word, and then he comes in various manifestations, then he comes as Jesus the man, then he becomes the Lamb, the sacrifice, then we have this gap before he returns, and he returns as the Lion. In between there, between the Lamb and the Lion, is this high priest of our confession. That's his ministry according to Hebrews. Right now, Jesus' ministry is the high priest of our confession. In other words, he's overseeing what the church is saying. We're all waiting, God, where are you? Why aren't you doing something? God, how come? Have you seen our country? Look what's happening. Look at the mess. God, you got to do something. God said, I've done it all on the cross. I've figured it out. I've sorted it out. Now I've given you the power. I've given you the authority. Now I'm waiting for you to say something. We are the church that need to be verbal about what we say and what we believe. Say this, Jesus is the high priest of my confession. And then he goes on in chapter 4, verse 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest who's passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. That means hold fast means something you're going to have to continue with. The devil is doing everything he can. We think the devil doesn't like us. He does. He hates us. But, you know, we think it's just because we Christians or whatever. No, he's after your word. He's after your faith. He's after your confession. Every problem you have is not just because he hates you, he's trying to hurt you. No, everything he throws at you, every pain, every tragedy, every sickness, every disease, every lack, everything that could possibly hurt you, it's to get us to turn just like in the beginning. Did God really say? Does he mean what he says? Because if he can silence our confession, he'll silence the power of the word. And so he's saying, you don't let go of your confession. I tell you, when Janine was going through what she was going through, every demon you can think of, demons that surprised me, like the demon of grief. You think grief only happens when the person's died. I'm worshiping God. Next moment, grief hits me. And I mean, my wife's in hospital. She's trying to figure out who's going to do the funeral, how are we going to process everything. I don't even know where to start with. And you go, hang on, she's still alive. It's the thoughts the enemy starts throwing. You have to learn to combat that. And the only way you can combat it is lift up your voice and start praising. And in the midst of that heaviness and that tragedy, you may have tears running out of your eyes, but you keep saying, God, you're good. My wife is healed. She's healthy. She's whole. She'll not die but live and declare the work of God. It's in that confession. You got to hold fast no matter what tragedy is happening. No matter what you're going through, keep that confession alive. And you get down to chapter 5, verse 5. So also, Christ did not glorify himself to become high priest. But he who said to him, that's the Father, you are my son, today I have begotten you. And he also says in another place, you are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. Everybody say Melchizedek. Now, he's quoting Psalm 110, verse 4. That's amazing how God built the gospel into the old covenant in a way the devil couldn't pick it up. The Bible says, had the prince of this world known, he would never have crucified Jesus. I guess so. If he figured out the cross was going to make Christ into millions of people, he would never have thought. He thought he's getting rid of one person here. But it was so hidden in the gospel, but it wasn't hidden from us. It was hidden from the enemy, but for our purpose. And so here's one of those statements, that Jesus was forever called according to the order of Melchizedek. Come down to verse 7. He who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and was heard because of his godly faith, he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Now listen to verse 9. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Called by God as high priest according to the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain since you've become dull of hearing. Now, that's a sad statement, because that's apparently the church today. Is sometimes you explain something and people just don't agree with it because they're dull of hearing. And he says, if we're going to get into deep truths, I don't want you to be dull of hearing. This is a hard thing that I'm busy explaining right now, but you're going to have to listen with spiritual ears. Remember, Jesus often said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, he wasn't talking about these flesh pedals on the side of our heads. No, this is, everybody's hearing the sound of what he said, but there's a spiritual truth. And he's revealing a spiritual truth here, that Jesus, who's the high priest today of our confession, is forever, everybody say forever, is forever called according to the order of Melchizedek. In other words, you want to know what Jesus' function is today? Look at Melchizedek. That's how God says, that's the order that I'm putting Jesus into office with. So to know that, and he said, consider this calling, means I need to know about the order of Melchizedek. Would make sense, wouldn't it? So to do that, we're going to do a deep dive study. How many of you are Bible students? How many of you enjoy good Bible studies? Only four here on the front row. We enjoy good Bible study. I don't know how long I've got yet, but, you know, this may take some time. But we want to go into a deep study. We're going to find everything about Melchizedek. Are you ready for it? Let me see. Everybody good? Let's begin then. Let's have a look here. Genesis chapter 14. This is where we begin. Genesis 14. Now, you remember what happened is that Abraham had a nephew, Lot. And as you know, he was captured, and his family was kidnapped, and all their goods were taken. And Abraham arranged for his crew to go out and rescue Lot. And he went and he fought the kings, and that means this is just, you know, three big, huge, major armies that Abraham went with just a few men. Have a look here in verse 14. Abraham heard that his brother was taken captive. He armed his 318 trained servants who were born in his own house and went in a pursuit as far as Dan. And he divided his forces against them by night. He and his servants attacked them, pursued them as far as Hobah, which is north of Damascus, and he brought back all the goods. Everybody say, all the goods. And he brought back his brother Lot and his goods, as well as the woman and the people. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him at the valley of Sheva, that is the king's valley, after his return from the defeat of Chedorlaomer, and the kings who were with him. Then Melchizedek. Yeah, we begin. This is the study. Melchizedek, king of Salem. Everybody say, king of Salem. Salem means peace. Who is the king of peace today? That's Jesus. And he brought out bread and wine. Everybody say, covenant meal. He was the priest of God Most High. Everybody say, priest. And Melchizedek blessed Abraham and said, blessed be Abraham of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who's delivered your enemies into your hand. And Abraham gave Melchizedek a tithe of all. End of study. That's it. That's as deep as we can go. That's all the information we have on Melchizedek. Isn't that interesting? You would think if Jesus is called according to the order of Melchizedek, what an amazing ministry it must be for Jesus to have. We would need a detailed description if he's called according to that order. Jesus, you are called according to the order of Melchizedek. Okay, what's my job spec? There it is. That's it. And yet God considered that one announcement, that one reference to Melchizedek, so important that he uses this encounter to register in heaven. That is Jesus' job specification while he's in heaven today. Isn't that interesting? So let's have a look at it then. Yeah, what do we pick up? Number one, he's the king of peace. Number two, covenant. Everybody say covenant. Number three, the blessing. The spoken blessing. Everybody say the blessing. And number four, Abraham gave him a tithe of all. A blessing is a spoken word that empowers you to do what God's called you to do. When God created Adam, he created them in his image, and he said to them, he blessed them, God blessed them and said, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, take dominion. The fact that God said it means it can be done. Whatever God calls you to do, you are capable of doing. Get a hold of that. If God gives you any instruction, you can't say, but God, you don't understand, I can't do it. No, the fact that he said it, it's in you. If God asks you to do something and you don't do it, what would that be called? Disobedience, sin. So if he calls you something to do and you're incapable of doing it, he's causing you, setting you up to sin. No, the moment he says, go ahead and do this, you have the ability to do it. Believe that. That's what the blessing does. It empowers you to carry out what God's called you to do. And so here we see, he's the King of Peace. We see the fact that he's covenant God. We see that he's the blessing God. He speaks the blessing. And then we see the response to that is the tithe. Now the tithe today is coming out of under tremendous attack. I don't know if anyone here has experienced that. You get all kinds of things. Isn't tithe old covenant? Isn't it under the law? Isn't it passed away? And you've got all these different questions. Yet here it is in reference to Melchizedek. And the problem is because we've taken the tithe and made it into a religious ritual. And it's not. The word tithe is not a religious term. The Hebrew word for tithe, you can look it up. It's Strong's number 4643. 4643. It's the word ma'aser. Ma'aser. Now, I'm not Hebrew. Please excuse me if you are, if you know Hebrew and my pronunciation's off. It's just I read the dictionary. So it's ma'aser. Everyone say ma'aser. Ma'aser, basically, it's an arithmetic term. It's not a religious term. It's an arithmetic term. Ma'aser literally means one-tenth, 10%. That's what it means. Everybody say 10%. How many did arithmetic math at school? Now, I know we all switch off when we start hearing math, you know, but some people do. But 10% is really simple. You know, if you take 3,000, what's 10% of that? Now, how did you work that out so quickly? All you do is you take the last zero and drop it off. Isn't that right? It's that easy. If you take 10,000, what would the tithe be? Just take the last zero off. So if you've got a million, what would a tithe be? 100,000. It's always going to be 10%. It's not like the more money someone earns, now they, you know, when you get $100, you give $10. When you get $200, you give $20. You get $1,000, give $100. Next moment, someone gets $1,000,000, now we're going to give $5,000. Hang on. Come back. What, it's still 10%. Come on, are you getting what I'm saying? Because we think 5,000 is a lot of money. No, in the hand of a million rand, it's not. Tithe is still 10%. And the amazing thing with that is no matter where you are, if you get $10, it's still $1, but it's the same blessing on the $1,000,000 that gave 100,000. You're getting a hold of this. So the tithe is an arithmetic term. And Abraham responded. Now, I want you to notice something here. He responded after the blessing. He didn't tithe to get the blessing. See, that's a misunderstanding. If I don't tithe, God will curse me. That's not accurate. He learned he's blessed. He had just received the blessing from his priest, and his response was to return the tenth, the 10%. So that immediately sorts out this thing, was it under the law? Because this was long before the law. In fact, you look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 3, it says, "And this I say, that the law, which was 430 years later, cannot annul the covenant." Everybody say covenant. It's not law, it's covenant. There's a difference. It's covenant that was confirmed before by God in Christ, that it should make the promise of no effect. For if the inheritance is of the law, it's no longer a promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. He's talking about the Abrahamic covenant. It wasn't under the law. That was 430 years later the law came. So then what is the purpose of the law? It's there. We have to ask that question. Well, he answers it here in verse 19. What purpose then does the law serve? Just remember, they thought the law was the way to get to heaven. Jesus came and demonstrated that's not the way. No man is good enough to get to heaven. There's no ways you can ever fulfill the law. Jesus is the only one who fulfilled the entire law. So then what was the big deal with this law then? Why was it even there if it's possible for me to even fulfill all of it? And he says it was added because of transgressions until the seed should come. Who's that? Jesus. Whom the promise was made and was appointed through angels by the hand of a mediator. But, listen to this now, before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law. kept for the faith which would afterward be revealed. Therefore, the law was our tutor. Everybody say tutor. The law was our tutor for what reason? To bring us to Christ, that we would just be justified. How? By faith, not by the works of the law. You're justified by faith, but after faith has come, we're no longer under a tutor. You see there, Pastor Alan? The law's passed away. Hang on there, Tiger. Let's have a look at that. How many of you know your doctor went to medical school? And in medical school, he was under a tutor. You know what a tutor is, a teacher, a coach. So when he starts medical school, I'm sure you've seen it in the movies, some of you may have seen it practically, is you'll have 10, 15 students stand around, and the tutor says, watch me. And the surgeon, the tutor is a surgeon. He's a doctor. He's teaching them. And he'll show them, this is how you do it. He'll show how you do the incision. He'll show how you open up the chest. He'll show you how you cut the bone. He'll show you how to open it up, how to get down in there. You're watching the whole thing. That's what the tutor does. Over time, then you learn what you're learning as under the tutor. Eventually say, okay, you cut open today, but I'll do the rest. And then they learn, oh, that's how you cut. They may even make a mistake the first time. And he says, okay, no, let me finish it for you. You've been guided on what to do. And then he says, okay, eventually you go deeper. And eventually you'll just stand back and watch you. Let me see you do the operation from beginning to end. And when you do the operation from beginning to end, I now know you are qualified to do it without me being there. So now I give you a certification. And the certification says you no longer under a tutor. Now you can go do your own operations. But how many of you would want your doctor to still do the operation the way his tutor taught you? Come on, he doesn't go out and says, well, now I'm no longer under a tutor. And all these years, I always thought an axe is way quicker into the chest. You know, why bother with a scalpel? No, you don't change what you've learned from the tutor. Just because you're no longer under tutor, the principles are still the same. And the tutor, you remember what the tutor said so that you can do life accurately. And as a tutor, the law, knew Christ was coming. But because man, in his fallen state, had a reprobate mind, he wanted to do everything evil, go everywhere else. And God had to keep Israel confined to make sure that bloodline is kept pure until the appropriate time for Jesus to be born. And so we had to wait until Jesus was born. But in the meantime, I'm still your God. I'm still your Father. I still want to bless you. I still want you to experience my presence. And so even though you don't know what to do, I'm going to teach you. If you do it this way, I'm there. If you do this, I'll answer. If you do this, I will bless you. If you do this, I'll open the windows. If you do this, see, the tutor's teaching, teaching, teaching. But when Christ comes, he endorses us with the Holy Spirit within us. We now have the Holy Ghost in our hearts, and now we're no longer under a tutor, but the principles are still the same. So it hasn't changed the principle. So the principle originally given under the covenant is still the same principle. Does this help? See, the Bible tells us in verse 13 of chapter 3, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. Why? It's so that the blessing of Abraham may come upon the Gentiles. So when God spoke in the law, it was for a purpose to help guide them to the truth. If you look at the tithe under the law, Leviticus chapter 27, verse 30 says, all the tithe of the land. How much? All the tithe of the land, whether the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord. It is a sacred thing. The Lord didn't make it sacred. It always was sacred. You notice it said, all the tithe of the land. Not just the Christian's tithe. Not now that I'm a Christian, I must start tithing. No, anything that comes out of this earth, the first 10% belongs to God. It always has been right from the garden. Think about this. What's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil about? Oh, come on now. If that thing is so dangerous, remember you said the day you eat it, you'll die? How many got kids? Would you go buy a handgun loaded with live ammunition, cock it so that there's a round in the chamber, and leave it off safety and put it on the coffee table and say to your toddler, now, don't touch that. I'm going to go out the room now, but don't touch that. If you touch that, it will kill you. But don't touch it, okay? Now, how many know when you walk out the room, the only thing in that room that has that toddler's attention is that gun. Isn't that right? And he may balk up and push it a little bit and check it, but we would call that child abuse. You wouldn't do that, isn't that right? You make sure that thing is, the ammunition's stored separately from the weapon. It's put behind a safe. It's locked away. Isn't that right? So yeah, God has this tree of the knowledge of good and evil and says the day you eat it, you will die. And I mean, he did. When he ate the thing, the whole planet, I mean the planet, the whole universe, everything was thrown into the curse. I mean the whole of mankind was thrown into destruction because of that one act. If the tree is so dangerous, why put it in the garden? Come on, wouldn't it be much easier keep that thing in heaven, put it behind some spiritual safe with angels guarding it, and you know, don't let anyone near that tree. It is a dangerous thing. No, he puts it in the garden, right in the man's presence, and says, now you see that tree? Don't eat from it. Why? Because until there is an alternative, obedience cannot be proved. Did you get that? God says, obey me. You trust me. You don't need another source. I am your God. You trust me. The knowledge of good and evil is in God. He'll teach you. But the moment you go to an alternative source and say, I don't need God anymore, I can use this for myself, God says, the day you do that, you enter the curse. He wasn't saying, I curse you. You became cursed because you trusted the alternative system. But if you honor me and bring it to me and honor me that I am first your God, I will bless you. And the tree of life was right there. He would have lived for eternity. You getting this? That was representing what is God's is God's. And if you honor him, you'll always be blessed. So you see it track the way through. Now Abraham finds he's blessed, and the way he responds is, I'm going to give God a tenth. And God marks that moment. Here's a man that understands something that the first man didn't even understand. He honored me first. And in fact, by the time King of Sodom. The king of Sodom said, you can give me the people, but you can keep the goods. And that's exactly how the devil's always worked. It's people he's after. Give me the people, and you can keep the goods. And Abraham said, no, I'll not even take the goods. I didn't tithe to get stuff. I tithe to honor God. And no man will say he made Abraham rich. And I'm going to trust God. See, today, the devil's not after money. He's not after systems. He's after people. Because if he can get people, he can control this world. And we begin, if you understand, the tithe is not about money. It's about people. It's about getting the gospel preached, about reaching this world with the gospel of Jesus. Someone say amen. So now, here, one of the other arguments I've heard is that, you know, this tithing under the law was only seeds and animals. We don't do seeds and animals. No, but remember, it's the same word used when Melchizedek gave a tithe. Exactly the same word. It's not a different word. I I've heard a teacher say it's a different word. It's not, it's still the same word, ma'aser. And when Abraham gave a tithe, remember, it was the spoils of war. So that's treasure. It's not just connected to animal and seeds. You can see that in Genesis chapter 28. How many of you know Abraham would have raised Isaac in the way of the Lord? And then Isaac gave birth to Jacob. And you heard Pastor Steve read this just now. Jacob made a vow saying in verse 20, if God will be with me, keep me in this way that I'm going, give me bread to eat and clothing to put on so that when I come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. And this stone which I've set up as a pillar shall be God's house. And all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth. That all is not just livestock. Of all, does all still mean in Jupiter what it means in Cape Town? All means? Because that's what all means. Amen. Now, it's interesting the wording used here. He says, I will surely give a tenth. That word tenth is the Hebrew word aser, 10%. The word surely is also aser. It's a Hebrew way of writing that if you want to make an emphasis, you repeat the word. Amen. It's like if you say, you know, I'm going to kiss somebody. But if, like, I'm going to tell my wife, I'm going to kiss you. Now, you know, other people I may kiss, but with a friendly kiss. But I'm going to kiss my wife. If I speak here, I'm going to say, I'm going to kiss you. That's that surely. So he says, I'm going to aser. If you look after me and you protect me and I come back here and I know that you're my God, I will aser. I'm going to tithe. That's how secure he was in this. He's saying, this is my response. I'm going to tithe. How many of you are going to tithe? Amen. You know, someone says, well, I don't believe in tithing. Well, tithing means 10%. So you don't believe in 10%ing. That's what the Hebrew says. The word tithe means 10%. I don't believe in 10%ing. So what do you, 5%? 20%? Because usually when people argue these things, is it because they want to give less? I have to ask that question. Because if I'm going to give, it's going to usually be more. So I could aser. 3 times. Are you with me? I'm saying, Lord, I'm going to start with aser. But whatever happens, if I see you working in my life, I'm going to up it from there. Why are we arguing whether we should be tithing or not? No, it's just the beginning. The coach has taught us. This is where you start. But in Christ, we want to go way beyond that. Have you say amen. So let's go back to Hebrews chapter 7. I'm going to wrap up here with this and see something. For Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the God, Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. So he's referring back to what we've just read. To whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all. Now here in the Hebrew, it's the Greek word, dekate. And it's Strong's number 1181. Everyone say dekate. Now you know the term dek. Dek means 10. Now decathlon is 10 events. The decimal system, decimal, is the system of 10. You know, I'd like to introduce Americans to that. Most of what we do is kilograms and you know, things like that, and centimeters. It's all easy to do in tens. It's the decimal system. So dekate, again, it just simply means one-tenth. So Abraham gave one-tenth of all. First being translated, he's the king of righteousness. Now, who do we know is the king of righteousness? That would be Jesus. Also the king of Salem, meaning the king of peace. Without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. He's always been from the beginning. And then he was like the Son of God, remains a priest continuously. Family, I put it to you that Melchizedek was Jesus as the Word showing up to Abraham to bless him and to receive his tithe. Now, keep reading with that concept. Now, consider how great this man was, to whom even the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth of the spoils. Indeed, those who are of the sons of Levi who receive the priesthood have a commandment to receive tithes from the people according to the law, that is from their brethren, though they have come from the loins of Abraham. But he, whose genealogy is not derived from them, received tithes from Abraham and blessed him who had the promise. Now, beyond all contradiction, the lesser is blessed by the better. Here, mortal men receive tithes, but there he receives them, of whom it's witnessed that he lives. Even Levi, who receives tithes, paid tithes through Abraham, so to speak, for he's still in the loins of his father, then when Melchizedek met him. Now, I'm going to summarize all of that. What is he saying? Yeah, mortal men receive tithes. You still bring the tithe to a priest, to the person. But he says that's not really what's happening, because that priest was in the loins of Abraham when he gave the tithe to Melchizedek. And so that's when the Levite was actually tithing. The people were tithing. How many of you know that with God, he's not in time? He looks outside of time. And when you think of your salvation, for example, when Jesus was crucified, there was a specific date about 2,000 years ago in the natural. But the Bible says he was crucified before the foundation of the world. So in God's mind, Jesus was already crucified. That's why Abraham could be called righteous, even though that could only happen after Jesus was crucified. But because Abraham believed, God considered the spiritual crucifixion his crucifixion. The same way the woman with the issue of blood, when she reached out to Jesus, what happened? She was healed. But by the stripes of Jesus you healed. By his stripes you are healed. But he hadn't been to the cross yet. No, he had been. In God's mind, he was already crucified. So she reached beyond time into the crucifixion that was coming up, because in the spirit it was already done. And it's that she received her healing. So the same way as the people brought the tithe to the priest, Levi, that priest was in the loins of Abraham. He was presenting that same tithe through him into Melchizedek. So every time someone tithes, they are depositing it at the feet of Melchizedek. Because in the realm of the spirit, God sees when you bring the tithe, yes, somebody like the church here will receive the actual natural tithe. But the moment you receive it, as Pastor Steve, for example, would receive the tithe, what's happening is you're actually depositing it at the feet of Melchizedek, Jesus. Come on, you getting this? You have a look at Hebrews chapter 7, verse 8 in the Passion Translation. Although Jewish priests received tithes, they all died. They were mortal, but Melchizedek lives on. See, family, you're not tithing to a church. You're bringing it to Jesus. Yeah, mortal men receive it, but it's deposited in the realm of the Spirit into Jesus' life. Come on, give Jesus praise. I'm out of time, but now you'll understand. When you read Malachi 3, now it makes sense. Let's go do that. We'll close on this. Malachi 3, verse 8, he says, will a man rob God? Why? It belongs to him. Yet you've robbed me. You say, in what way have we robbed you? He says, in tithes and offerings. You cursed with a curse. He didn't say, I curse you. You know, when somebody came in here this morning, it was dark inside. They didn't call the power company and say, please send power. Why? Because the power was here already. Someone may say, but it's still dark. Well, according to our system, you've got power. Well, why is it dark then? Please send the power. Well, if you go to the wall, you'll find there's a switch. Flick it and see what happens. You flick the switch, the power was there all the time. So God says, you want to know why you're in the dark? You switched off the power. It's not that you're not blessed. The blessing is there. Remember, when you're born again, you are blessed. And because you're blessed, well, how come I'm not seeing the result of that blessing? You switched off the switch. What's that? The tithe. You kept what's mine, and you used what's mine. So even though you're blessed, it can't go to work. You're in the dark. Now watch this. Bring it back. Flick the switch. Put the switch back on. Bring it back to me and watch me. It's the only place in the entire Bible he says, test me. Remember Jesus, when the devil tried to tempt him, he said, you don't test God. You believe God. Because he said it, you believe it. But yeah, God says, watch out. If I'll not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing, there is not room enough to contain it, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. I will. Everywhere else, we're told to resist the devil, he will flee. You, whatever you bind on earth, bind him. It says, no, you get involved here. I will personally oversee it. Your vine will never fail. In other words, what produces your income will not fail. You will always have an income, and all nations will look at you and call you blessed, says the Lord of hosts. You know what Lord of hosts means? In the original, if you read it up in the Hebrew, it's the captain of the army, the commander of the military force. God says, this is so important to me for you, that I'll put my whole military force on standby, and they will personally make sure that you are protected. You honor me, I will protect you, your family, your income, everything. Family of God, when I have revelation of this, I thought, dear Jesus, why would you even want to argue out of that? I realized I'm who I am today. I was lost and going to hell. I was defeated. My wife was a disease they couldn't fix. Our finances were destroyed. Janine and I made a decision. We would not allow this to pull us down. The first day I ever heard it, Apostle Theo got up. I went to church for the first time on purpose. After my wife was healed, I thought, well, where do I go to church? I go back to where she was healed. And Apostle Theo, that Sunday, gets up and teaches on the tithe. And I thought, really? The first Sunday I'm in church, the man wants my money. See, I didn't have revelation. And so I said, well, I won't do anything unless I see it in the Bible. I will not be conned. Because, you know, that's what we thought. It was all just a big con job. And, of course, I learned from him. The way we teach is the way he taught. Line upon line, scripture, scripture. Halfway through, Janine and I made a decision. I turned to her, I said, I don't know how we're going to do it, but we're starting today. We are starting today. I couldn't wait for that service to finish. I went home, worked out what the tithe was. The flesh is like, what? We owed so much money, we couldn't even pay attention. I mean, I could use that for a car payment. But we made a decision. And we made a decision. We deposited that night. Never looked back. That's why I don't understand. Are you telling me, after everything God has done, going to hell on my behalf, coming back, healing my wife, doctors told us we'd never have children. We've got 3 children today, and now our eldest has got 2 children. Our newest grandson was just born a month ago. And the things we never expected would happen. All of our debt is cleared except the house. That's going to be gone soon too. But we are living in a prosperous life. God's looking after us. The church is growing, expanding. Don't get in my way when I've received something from him. I'm going to come straight to his throne. I'm going to lay at his feet and say, Father, of everything you've blessed me, yes, asar, I'm blessing you with tithe and more. Because I've seen you're good. Amen. I want to encourage you today, family. This is a decision you make. It's not a religious obligation. It's not done under law, under compulsion. It is a response to the covenant. I'm a blessed man. Why wouldn't I bless my father? Amen. So I want to really call you home. I know many of you already are faithful in tithing. But sometimes for some of us, we just needed to see it from the Word. Don't let foreign voices talk you out of the blessing God has established in your life. He gave us a tutor. Let's live life according to that. And then you see His blessing flow. Amen. So I really want to let this be a call. And the easiest way to do it is, I don't ever want to embarrass anybody. Because, you know, sometimes I didn't know. Well, I didn't know about it. But I thank God someone was bold enough to teach it to me. And I do know this for a fact. There was a day that you did not tithe. Even though we tithe today, all of us. So I'm going to lead us in a confession, but confess it so that we don't embarrass those who are making it their first time confession. Can we do that? Just lift your hand and say this. Father, thank you so much for your word. And I honor you. You have been so good to me. I am here today, born again, your child, alive, destined for heaven, for eternity. You have been so good to me, and I honor that. And Lord, I do confess, there was a day that I used your tithe. It was yours all the time, and I honor you today. I repent of that.
Yes.
I confess it as a sin.
Yes, Lord.
I know I'm forgiven right now. I'm cleansed.
I'm cleansed.
And today, I lay it aside. I take up. This blessing. This call from you.
And
of everything you give me. I will surely. Bring a tenth to you. Honor you. And I know as I do this. The windows of heaven are open. And I live.
The blessed life.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Give the Lord Jesus praise. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Apostle Alan. I want to ask you just for a moment. We're not finished yet. We're almost done. But you can hang in there. 1 hour, 45 minutes. You sat through 1 hour, 45 minutes. Praise the Lord. For some folks, that's a major achievement. Well, listen, I just want to encourage you. If you are here this morning and maybe you have never made that vow that we spoke about, that Jacob made, about tithing on everything that you receive, I want to encourage you to make that vow today. And so I've asked the ushers going to help me. We have this card, it's called My Vow to Tithe. And if you are currently tithing, you don't need to fill out the card. But if you are not tithing, you say, Pastor Steve, from today, I'm making a vow to the Lord. I'm making that decision, that choice, that I'm going to begin tithing on everything God gives me. Then I want you to lift your hand up, and I want to ask the ushers to help me. Just lift your hand up, and I would encourage you to fill out that card and make that commitment, because there's something that happens when you make a vow to the Lord. There's something that happens when you make commitment. It's like you could hear me talk about Jesus and preach the gospel and then give people opportunity to receive the Lord in their life, and you could hear everything that I said and agree with it, but if you don't actually make that commitment of making Jesus Lord of your life, you won't be saved, right? So I'm encouraging you today to make that commitment, that vow. I remember when I was 17 years old, I didn't finish school. I didn't finish high school. I didn't graduate from high school. But when I was 17, I made a vow, I'm going to start tithing a tithe. And I was working at the bank, and I was earning $400 a month, 400 rand a month. And I started tithing. And let me tell you, within 2 years, I went from earning $400 to earning $2,000 a month. Now that's in 1982. It was a long time ago, 40-something years ago. $2,000 a month was a good salary, and I went from 400 to 2,000. God just opened doors for me. I can't take the time, but God just opened doors. I just kept getting better jobs and getting promoted and making commissions. And I can honestly tell you it's been 41 years since I made that commitment to tithe. And we've been faithful to tithe on everything we receive. And God has taken care of us. It doesn't mean we've never had any challenges, but every challenge, God's brought us out of it. God's done miracles. You're sitting in a miracle today. This building is a miracle today. This building shouldn't have happened. God opened the door for us to get this building. We didn't have any money. God opened the door for us to do it. I can tell you right now, God is faithful. And I love what you said, you know, because there's some people today that will tell you that tithing is not for today. I wonder where that comes from. I wonder who's really behind it. I wonder who's trying to stop the flow of finance to the gospel. Who's trying to hinder the church from prospering? And who's trying to stop Christians from prospering? It's the enemy. That's who behind it. Because I want to ask the question, if the Bible says that when we bring our tithe, that Jesus receives them, because he's the priest like Melchizedek forever, then my question is, does Jesus not receive our tithes anymore today? When did that stop? It never stopped. Jesus is still presiding, is the apostle over our confession, and when we bring our tithe to him, he receives it and he releases blessing in our life. Amen. So now when we the Bible says in 3 John that it says, dear friend, it says you are doing a good work for God, taking care of the traveling teachers and missionaries who are passing through. They have told the church of your friendship and your loving deeds, and I'm glad when you send them on their way with a generous gift, for they are traveling for the Lord. They take neither food or clothing or shelter or money from those who are not Christians, even though they have preached to them. So we ourselves should take care of them in order that we may be partners with them in the Lord's work. And the Passion Bible says, if you would be so kind, send them on their way with a generous gift in a manner that would honor God. So John's writing to the church, and he says, you know, you've had these traveling teachers, missionaries come through. You don't know them. They're strangers to you, but I want you to send them on their way with a generous gift. Now, you know, with Pastor Alan and Janine, they're not strangers to us. They're dear friends of ours. In fact, they've been a tremendous blessing to our church. Their church in Cape Town has, on more than one occasion, sent $10,000 to our church. What he preaches about giving, this is what they live. When we went to Cape Town, he won't let me pay for a meal. They covered all our hotel. We were there a week. They blessed us beyond what we ever would have imagined. I mean, what he's preaching to you today is the way they live. Amen. So they were so generous, their church, when we were there recently, and I want to be a blessing to Apostle Alan and Janine, and we want to sow into their life. This is good soil to sow into. You know, it makes a difference where you give. The soil where you sow makes a difference, and this is good soil. So I want to receive an offering to bless them, to bless their ministry. They flew themselves here, and we want to be a blessing to them. Amen. So I want you to get yourself ready, because we're going to receive an offering for their ministry. Then we're going to close the service. And if you have not yet, if you're not tithing, you should be filling out this card and making that vow and putting that card into the offering, because today is the beginning of a whole new turnaround in your financial future. Today is the beginning of a whole new blessing coming in your life. Today can be the beginning of a whole new chapter in your life. If you'll make that vow like Jacob did, I'm going to give you 10% of everything you give me, Lord. And the next thing, Jacob became exceedingly prosperous. That's what God wants for you. The Bible says, I wish that you would prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. Say, God wants me to prosper. Say, God wants to bless me. Say, there's no limit to what God can do in my life. The only limit is the one I put on him. Don't put a limit on God. Believe God for supernatural. Amen. Are you ready to give today? All right. I'm going to ask ushers, would you go ahead and pass the offering baskets before we close this morning. And let me just say thank you to all of our volunteers, everyone who served today. We so appreciate our team, our media team do a wonderful job. The kids' church, the ushers, the worship team, everyone who served today, thank you for serving. We could not do this without you. And we really do appreciate you serving today. Is there any other announcement that I need to make? Abel, did you want to? We had a great time of prayer here on Thursday with Abel. We prayed on every other Thursday, every second Thursday. Come and join us. We prayed at 7 o'clock, and Abel led the prayer meeting, and it was great. So we're not praying this week, but the next one, right? You're having a youth Christmas party, and that is on what date? There you go. It is on December the 18th at 5 p.m. We're having the youth are having a Christmas party and a gift exchange, right? Amen. Well, stand up with me, would you, as we close, as we pray. Let's stand up together. Father, we thank you today. Lord, we thank you that you are good. We thank you, Father, that it is your will. You want us to prosper. You want us to be in health. You want us to be blessed, Father. Thank you that you are good, Lord. Thank you for all your promises that you've given us. Father, thank you today for your blessing in our life. And I thank you, Lord, for every person here today. I know that as we put you first and as we obey you, Father, you said that we will be blessed everywhere we go, coming in, going out, in the city, in the field, wherever we are, we'll walk in your blessing. And I just thank you, Father, for blessing your people. I thank you, Lord, that you are with us. I thank you that you are guiding us. I thank you that you are protecting us. I thank you for your favor that surrounds us. As we go out of here today, Lord, your favor goes with us. While we have our eyes closed and our heads bowed, before we go home, there's just one last thing I want to do. And I always want to give an opportunity for people. If you're not sure where you stand with the Lord today, if you're not sure if all is right, all is well between you and God today, I want to pray for you. Let me ask you this question. If you were to die today, can you say that you know for sure? You know for certain that you would go to heaven? Or do you have to be honest? Say, Pastor Steve, if I died today, I hope I'd go to heaven. I do believe in God. I'm a member of such and such a church, but I'm not absolutely certain. I can't say that I know for sure that I would go to heaven. Let me tell you, the good news is you can know that for sure. You can know that for certain. You can walk out of here this morning and you can know that all is right, all is well between you and the Lord. You can know that when you die, heaven is where you're going to spend all of eternity. You can be sure of that. Let me tell you, heaven is a real place. There is a heaven to gain, and there is a hell to shun. And I want to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to come out. But right where you're standing, while we have our eyes closed, this is between you and God today. If you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me. I want to make sure when I die, I want to go to heaven. I want to make sure that all is right and well between me and the Lord. Pray for me. If that is you, if you want to be included in this prayer that I'm about to pray, then I want to ask you to just quickly lift your hand up high. Just wave your hand at me. I'm looking for hands. Just wave your hand at me. Say, pray for me, Pastor Steve. If your hand is raised, you are included in this prayer this morning. All right. Well, I don't see anybody with their hands raised. You know that we give an altar call for salvation every single service, every Sunday. So how many people want to see people get saved here on Sunday? I said, how many people want to see people get saved? Well, guess how that happens? You got to bring them. That's right. You got to invite people. You invite them and you know that every week I'm going to pray and I'm going to give people opportunity to receive the Lord. I'm going to do it every week. I do my job, you do your job, right? We go out of here, what are we called to do? Go in the world and make disciples. I'm going to be preaching on that real soon. It's real strong on my heart that we are called to make disciples. So, praise the Lord. Tell your neighbor, I'm glad you were here today. Tell him I'll see you next week. Tell him I'm bringing somebody with me next Sunday. Have a great week. We'll see you next time, everybody. Amen.